So, continuing from where we left off last week, which was basically Shviros HaKelim, and we're left with the Rapach Nitzotzim, the sparks that are left within the empty Kelim. The Oros, like we said, had left the Kelim, and they stayed in the realm of holiness, they stayed in the realm of Atzilus. So, this is all before Bria Solom, because this is the 974 generations that Chazal tell us were created before HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world. He was building and destroying, and then finally came time for Bria Sa'olam. Bria Sa'olam is synonymous with Tikkun. The Arizal says Tikkun Ha'olam, he means that's what took place at Bria Sa'olam. So, what exactly served as a Hesorus for the original Bria Sa'olam? Because Bedarach Klal, we say that in order for there to be something the Arizal calls Mad, which is Mayan Duchrin, which means masculine waters, meaning a hispashtus coming from above to below, for there to be an expression coming downwards, there needs to be Mayan Nukvin, which is what's referred to as Man. The Arizal says that if he had to be Memayit all of Chachmas HaKabbalah into two words, it would be Man and Mad, the concept of Mayan Nukvin and Mayan Duchrin, which is what we know as the Tachtonim or Mesor, the Elyonim, or that the person's Avoda creates some form of a reaction lamala, and in part comes down a shefa from lamala. The fact that there's an avod l'sarach kavoa is very much rooted in this concept of mayan nukvin, which is not necessarily nukva in nature, but it's the receiver, it's the adam who's serving as the hisorus for that expression coming from lamala. So we need the adam. There needs to be maisa mitzvah. There needs to be a tefillah. There needs to be a kavana. Right, Bnei Yisrael are the ones who are ma leman. That's called ha'alas mayan nukvin. So we're the ones who generally do that. We're the ones who create the hesoros. But before Bria Sa'olam, right, even Rashi says that ha'adam ayin, there was no person in order to daven for the rain. And that's why the virtue, right, that's why all the plants were underneath the ground, because we're waiting for a person to daven. There needed to be someone who created the hesoros for the hashpa. So the Arizal asks, he said, so what exactly created that Hesoros for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create the world, Kavyachal? So the Arizal bases it on his Zohar, and he calls it Kad Tzalik Bereusa. Kad Tzalik Bereusa means that when it was Ola in his will, when it was Ola in God's will, Kavyachal, to create the world, because there was no human being, there was no potential creation at that point, because all we had was Shvira, and there was no Adam to create a Hesoros. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a Hesoros Mineu Bei, an internal movement, which is what's referred to in Sifrei Chabad, especially Rabbi Ashab, as Sha'ashuam Ha'atzmiyim, the internal movement of back and forth, of Ratz V'Shov, of Mati V'lo Mati, of touching and not touching, Naga V'Einu Naga. It's difficult to explain it in words. It's more of an experiential feeling when we discuss it. Mitzad HaNivra, Mibasri Ech Salokim. It's, Rav Pinchas Karzer explains that that's why we shuckle in davening, that there's always a hisoros, there's a year and an ava, there's a movement and then there's a recoil, movement, recoil, movement, recoil, which eventually creates a hisnotitzos, which creates a friction that eventually creates what we know as motion and movement, and that takes place internally within us before there's any external expression. So that's what the Rabbi Rashab refers to as sha'ashuam ha'atzmiyim, the internal movements. Sha'ashua is what when we play with something, so that's external already, but there has to be an internal sha'ashua before that expresses itself externally. So that's what took place by the Kad Salik Bereusa, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Ola Beretzono.
What does those words mean?
Kad Salik Bereusa. Kad, when, Salik, it came up, Bereusa, in his will. Mm-hmm. So on this, the Baal HaTanya says, his known words, that Ein Tam L'Ratzon. So we see that the Tikkun Ha'olam was totally in the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we can't understand at this point what the Hesoros was for Bria Sa'olam, because it was Ratzon, it was Tali Biratzono, and we don't ask a question on that. He wanted it Kavyachol, and therefore he created the world. And then the law of man creating the Hesoros in order for there to be a Hashpa would take place. But beforehand, there was only Kad Tzalik Bereusa. In the Kabbalah of Mahari Sarug, Rabbi Sol Sarug, who is the Olam HaMalbush, which we'll get to very much in the Leshem, Rav Chaim Vital doesn't speak about these worlds. The Mari Sarek speaks about the worlds Lamala Me'adam Kadmon, something called the Malbush, or the Tehiru Ila, or the Rishimu. Those are Olamos that are Lamala from Adam Kadmon. That's discussed in Sfarim like the Eimek HaMelech and the Ramah Mipanau. Rav Hutner in his Haskama to the Shalos and Tshuvos of the Ramah Mipanau, only time he ever quotes Rav Tzadok Beferish, everything Rav Hutner said is Rav Tzadok. But the only time he quotes a Beferish is quoting a place in Rav Tzaddok in Likutei Ma'amarim, in Yin Shimshon, where Rav Tzaddok says that even though we have a halacha and a rule that we cannot learn any Talmud of the Arizal except Rav Chaim Vital because he was the Iker Kabbalah of the Mesorah, nevertheless, the Kabbalah of Ma'ari Sarug in the Olam HaMalbush is part and parcel of the Kabbalah Sa'arizal. So in that sugya,
we have a rule with that.
The Rav Chaim Vital said it, and the story about the Arizal before his death is that he said that nobody could learn it except Rav Chaim Vital, and that's how we have the Kitvei Ari, the Shmona Sharim. It's only from the Arizal.
Is that the Minhag?
Yeah, it's the Minhag. The Rashash said that the one time he ever opened up the Svarim of the other Talmidim, he writes this in the beginning of Rechavos HaNa'ar, the only other time he had to unfortunately open up the Svarim of other Talmidim, he almost tore Kriya. So there's a big machlokus as to what exactly he was referring to. There are Svardi Mekubalim who say he was talking about the Sefer Ramchal, Chas V'Shalom. Rav Itchemeyer, when he read that, he tore Kriya also, because he said, to know that there are Mekubalim in this generation who would say that the Rashash was talking about the Ramchal, it's Kedai to tear Kriya. Whatever it is, there's always a rule. There's always a rule that we follow Rav Chaim Vital. That's why it's called Kabbalah, because there's a very specific giving over and a process of transmission.
Good question. This stage of Bria is already like a second stage of Bria, because there's, well, I mean, even Lance, I mean, there was already Bria of everything we've spoken until before now. So why are we discussing a separate reason for this stage of Bria? Meaning, why isn't this, is it's all one process, right? So it's not like a new question of why.
No, this is what served as the reason for God wanting to fix the Shira Sakelim. You're right, there was Olam HaNikudim. Tikkun is called Brudim. Like we'll see in a few parshios, there's Akudim, Nikudim, and Brudim. We discussed Akudim. Last week we discussed Nikudim, which is Olam HaTahu. So what exactly serves as the reason for the transmission from Nikudim, which is the Shvira and the Tohu, towards Brudim?
Meaning he could have just left it as Shvira.
That's what the Arizal asked. He said, what exactly?
No?
So we're asking right now how
also,
this fits in with the
law. We spoke about last time how really, everything in the beginning, the Shvir and all those things, that's all intentional to lead up to this, right? So it's not a new question of why this, really. I mean, the question of why really is all the way in the beginning, and that's the same why that should carry through for everything that's going on.
As to why they didn't have this Shvir.
Right. It shouldn't be a new question of why at this stage in the creation.
You're right. But the Arizal asks the question. Beferish and Shara Nekudim and Eitz Chaim, he says, he's not asking a question as to what was the reason of Rias Olam. That's already done in Chakir Alev and Eitz Chaim, and there's the two reasons we had discussed, which are either in order for HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kav Yochel to bring out all this potentiality into actuality, and therefore there need to be Nevraim, or the other reason is because, what do we say? Why am I blanking on it right now? The two reasons, and Chokatov Lehetiv, or because
those two reasons should be applying to this, no? I mean, why is there a new question now?
Because there are certain laws that once HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to create the world, now we're already shayach to the Or HaEin Sof, which is something we could discuss. And like any other halachic, like any other Torah concept, there are rules and there are laws and there's a system to it. So if there's a system, and the Arizal asks the question, he says, if we know, based on the Zohar, based on the writings of the Zohar and the previous Mekubalim, that there's no reaction from above unless there's an inspiration from below, so what exactly served as the beginning of this movement towards creating the world? Towards creating what we know as Olam Hazeh.
I'm saying, and the questions, the two answers of Koach HaGvul Bilti Gvul and Chok HaTov LaHeitiv, those two things don't apply to this stage of Bria?
No, we're kfar, that's the question of how we could even be discussing that. This is already within Bria. This is the shlav, this is the third and final shlav of the Hisavus of our Olamos, until we actually could speak about a physical universe.
So we're not part of making those two things be able to be complete?
What do you mean?
Meaning, how would he have accomplished how would he have accomplished either Koach Gvul Bilti Gvul and or the Chok HaTov LaHeitiv without having the world as it is, as we know it? How would he have accomplished that without man?
I understand your question. Yeah. So we had to create.
So those things are the reason why this stage is happening. Also, we don't need to have a new question as to why.
Well, those reasons will be subterranean throughout the entire system of Kabbalah.
Right. So there should be no new question of why is he creating the world.
I mean, in any system of thought, there's going to be. I mean, this is a secondary question. This is not a fundamental essential question that could uproot the entire system. The Arizal, the Lashon of the Arizal is basically how does this fit in with the laws of how everything works afterwards. That's all, but I understand what you're asking. But the Shaila now is when I say Ein Tam L'Ratzon, it means that the Bria Sa'olam, the Tikkun, which we'll see is the Avodah of every Jew, and every single thing we do is going to be totally in this concept of Ratzon also. But we're not speaking about the essential question of why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. And this question does not negate the fact that underneath all of Bria and history are those two fundamental concepts. So, we spoke about the Shvira took place from the Orus of Ben, right? That came from the inside of Adam Kadmon and left the Einayim, right? That's why we say the Shvira was totally in the Einayim. So when Hashem decided to fix the world, to fix the Shiver Kalim, and to be Mala, the Rapach Nitzotzos, and to fix the Kalim in order to put the ore back into it, right? So the ore of Ma, which is the Shem Havaya, the Miloy Alfin, when you spread out Havaya, Yud, Yud, Vav, Dalet, Hey, Hey, Aleph, Vav, Vav, Aleph, Vav, and Hey, Hey, Aleph. So that's the Ikar Shem. That's the Ikar Shem if you look at the Hakdam of the Tikkunim in the Pesach Eliyahu that we Sardim say every day before davening. It says that the Ikar Shem is the Shem Havaya because it's Gematria Adam, and the entire world is created for Adam. That's the Shem that corresponds to Zer Anpin, which we said the Shvira took place because it was only Nekev and it was only Malchus. So the Tikkun is going to take place by the interconnection between the masculine aspect, which is Zer Anpin, and the Shivri Kalim, which is the feminine aspect. So this aura of Ma came from within Adam Kadmon. It was there the whole time, dormant within it, after the auras came out of the Einayim. And it was Ola all the way up. It went above the Einayim and came out from the Metzach of Adam Kadmon, Kav Yachol. It came out of the forehead. It was Bokeh, the forehead, by the Mukum of the Tefillin. On a person, that's where the Or HaTikkun came out from. And this Or came down and took all the Oros of Ben that had previously shattered, and they refixed the Kalim, and now there was a chibor, there was an interconnection between the Oros of Ma and the Oros of Ben, or the masculine lights and the feminine lights, and they're created what we now know as the Seder of the Sviros, which is not just the Chad Samcha, which we said is what was one of the reasons for the Sviro, which is one, then another, but it was the triads that we now know, because the Iker concept of the Tikkun is relationship. There was an equality now, and there was a conservation of energy, and there was an ability to for each thing to subsist within the system by sharing the weight and the pressure of the Oros in them with the other people, with the other Sviros. Because, like we said, one of the reasons it was Nishbar is because it couldn't be Solva the Or by itself, but there was no interconnection. There was no interconnectedness between the Amin, the Small, and the Emsa, because only one Kav. Now, the Tikkun Olam is also referred to as Tikkun HaKavim. Now it's what we know as Kav HaYamin, Kav HaSmol, and Kav HaEmsa. Chesed, Din, and Rachamim. So now we have what we always see as the tree of the Sviros, the Ilan HaKadosh of 3-3-3, and there's always thesis and antithesis and a synthesis. There's always going to be a postulation, an attack on that postulation, Kav Yachol, and then there's going to be a yichud, a reconfiguration of the two. The Lubavitcher Rebbe actually said it in English, I think. He says it's rebellion, it's revelation, rebellion, and reconciliation. That's how chesed, din, and rachamim work. There's an expression, then there's a chesed, there's a gvura, and then there's a tferes, which enables all of them to contain all the oros. That's really the ikar of Tikkun HaOlam. Now, because Tikkun, as we said before, is always going to be a diminution of the oros. It's going to be a limiting of the oros in order that the Kalim could sustain the oros. Because the ikar tachlis of the Bria HaOlam is for there to be Bnei Adam who could be makabel the shefer from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Shviras HaKalim, we couldn't be makabel it because there was too much or. It's as if Kav Yachol, a person looks at the Shemesh and he's blinded by the raw light of the Shemesh. But the Tikkun is the ability to be sold out of the Or. So even psychologically speaking, that's a beautiful concept, because the Miyad, it's not Tefasta, it's Tefasta Merubalo Tefasta, it's Tov Me'at Beharbe Kavana Meharbe Beli Kavana, meaning that it's the ability to sustain oneself and not to shatter. That's the Iker. That's what Tikkun HaOlam is. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to create the world. And that is from the light of Ma, the Oros de Ma, which is called Ma HaChadash. It's called the new light of Ma in the Arizal. And it comes out of the Metzach. The Metzach is what's referred to in the Idrabah as Rav HaDeRavin. The Metzach is the makom of will, because lefi the Arizal, lefi the Zohar, that's a mashal of where the thoughts take place, of where the will takes place, above the expressions of the mouth, the eyes, the ears, the nose, whatever it is. That's the makom of will, because it's the ratzon that was Ola to create the world. It's also referred to, Rabbi Nachman says that it's the makom of tefillin, because when we put on tefillin, we say bein einecha, right? It's in between the two eyes. Which means, kav yachol, that a person is supposed to imagine that it's a third eye. It's one ayin that's above the other two ayin. Because right now we have an ayin yamin and an ayin smol. And that's what took place during the Shvira, because there was chesed and there was gevura and there was no interconnection between the two of them. So one eye, kav yachol, saw good, one eye saw bad. And there was sleeping there, there was a closing of the eyes, and there were two hanhagos that were not shayach to yichud. But by tikkun we say that there's no sleep by the Shomer Yisrael. Shomer Yisrael is the Zman of Tikkun, and that's Bein Einecha. That's why the Makom of Tefillin is in between the eyes. It's a Yichud of the two eyes. It's an ability for both the Chesed and the Gevura to interact properly in a normal relationship. And that's why Rabbi Nachman says it's a mashal to why the Or had to come out of the Metzach specifically. That's also what Rav the Ravin is by Shal Shudis. The Zman of Shal Shudis is a Tikkun to the Oros, and that's Kad, that's when Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifter, but he was Ola Beratzon. He went into the Ratzon HaPnimi. That's why we can't understand the Makom of his Kvura. A lot of Torahs are connected to this concept of Rav HaDeRavin and the Shaykhus Tetikon. The reason, the Arizal says, that it's called Brudim, Akudim, Nikudim, and Brudim. So the Arizal doesn't explain it. He just says it's from the Pasuk. The only explanation he gives to any of those Lashonos is Akudim. He says it's like Yitzchak Avinu, who was Akud, Alam Mizbeach, which means he was tied, because Akudim is one Kli with all the Oros. But he doesn't explain Nikudim and Brudim. Brudim, the Lashon HaKadosh explains in Sefer HaKlalim, that it's Melashon Barad. It's Melashon Hail. Based on Ibn Ezra, I believe, in Parsha Shemos, or not Parsha Shemos, in Parshas, whatever Parsha discusses, Barad, where he explains that Barad over there, it's the first time we ever see Barad in the Torah, and therefore it's a paradigm for what Barad is. Barad was the interconnection between two opposing forces of fire and ice, interconnected together. And that's why it's called Barudim, because Melashon Barad, and it shows the ability for there to be an interconnection between the opposing traits that we see by Tikkun HaKelim. Okay. So again, we said that the Shvira, right? We said by the Shvira, it was like a Rishus HaYachid, right? Because it was like a Rishus HaRabim, because there were many disparate Nekudos that had no Shaychus to each other. There was no interconnectivity. So if the Iker Tikkun over here, the Iker Tikkun for the Shvira HaKelim, is this Chibor and this Ahava, like we saw from Rav Aaron, that it's not the Yira of Shvira HaKelim, but it's the Ahava of Tikkun, like Rashbi said, Anon B'Chavifa Talia Milsa. Right, so then this is going to be Rishos HaYachid. It's going to be numerous houses. It's going to be numerous makomos that are able to interact together, biyachad, al yidei, one connection between the two of them. And that is where we come to really the Iker Chiddush of the Arizal. The Iker Chiddush of the Arizal, and it's not a Chiddush, but it's what he revealed. He was able to be Megalit, and the fact that it wasn't a chiddush, but rather it was a zman ro'oi to be megala such an inyan. The leshem in his biur and its chayim has an arichas on it. The chida by his entry in Shema Gedolim on the Arizal also discusses it. And the Ramam Mipano in his hakdama to his perish on the Ramak's Pardis Rimonim explains it as follows. He says that it's usur to learn the Ramak and the Arizal together. Why is it also to learn the Ramak and the Arizal together? He says it's a dogma of the Isser of Shatness, because you're being ma'ariv two different kolchos, because the Ramah says the Ramak dealed in Olam HaTohu. The Ramak's Kabbalah is the dogma of Olam HaTohu, where the Ramak doesn't have a concept of a partzuf. The Ramak doesn't have a concept of what we'll see is what the Arizal explains, that Tikkun HaOlam is really the Binyan HaPartzufim. This interconnection is what the Arizal calls a partzuf. The Ramak did not speak about that. He spoke about the different spheros. He spoke about interconnection between the spheros, and he even hinted to the concept of partzufim in his Sefer Ilema, which was the last Sefer he wrote.
Did he have Shvira?
He spoke about, he doesn't call it Shvira Sakelim, but there was a cataclysmic disarray that took place before we enter onto the stage. And that's based on the Lashonos in Chazal. I mean, even Chazal used the Lashon of Tzimtzum. You should look in Shar Gimel and Nefesh HaChayim. Anytime you ever want a Makor in Chazal or the Arizal about a certain concept, just look in Nefesh HaChayim, because he was telling you about it, because he was doing that L'umas L'chassidim Mutayna, that the Gra didn't follow the Arizal. So Rav Chaim V'Lajiner Bedafka showed his incredible Bekiyas in Kitvei Ari and how his Rebbe was only Shaykh to the Kitvei Ari. But the Ramah Mipano says the Ramak only was Shaykh to Olam HaTohu, and the Rav Chaim Vital even is Meramis to this in Chizushim at the end of Eitz Chaim, and the Remez is also, he says this example, he says that the Ramak is Shaykh to Olam HaTohu. The Arizal is Shaykh to Olam HaTikun, because the Arizal is describing the Partsufim and the interconnection, and therefore it's not good to learn Tohu and Tikun together. So, and even it's, I have this thought that even in the names of their Svarim, Pardes Rimona means an orchard of numerous trees, and there's a lot of different trees. And yeah, they're Shaykh to the same place, they're in a Pardes, but Eitz Chaim is one tree. It's the Yichud of all the trees, because the Arizal was speaking in a level of Tikkun. So this concept of Partsuf, which can possibly be translated roughly into a Gestalt, or I mean, it really means visage, it really means a face, a Partsuf is a face, Keshem She'ein Deoseh, Keshem She'ein Partsufeyem Dom Zelazeh, Kach Deoseh Yaminem Dom Zelazeh, the Partsuf is really the face of a person, but in the Lashon of the Arizal, the Partsuf represents an entity, and forgive me because I will not be able to explain this properly, the parts of, like we explained, the five partsufim, which were Arhanpin, Abba, Ima, Zeranpin, and Nukva, right? So the parts of is a binyan of ten spheros. Each parts of has within it Keser Chachma, Bina, Chesed, Gvurot, Tzvaras, Netzach, Yisod, a small image of the Ilan HaKadosh, of the interconnection between those spheros. But they all act together in order to create a whole that's greater than the sum of its parts. Meaning, even though the pratim that make up the specific parts of Ludugma, the parts of Zeranpin, right, even though the pratim that make it up are the spheros in it, and all the spheros are also comprised of all the other spheros, like we do by Sfiros HaOmer, nevertheless, all of those spheros, even though, and this is the Chiddush, even though they maintain their personal identity, and they're not mevutal, we don't look at them and say, oh, you're just part of Zeranpin, but rather we see the kiyum of each sphero within it, we see the parts within the whole, but there's no separation and there's no chaotic disarray because they're all part and parcel of the same unified entity. Yeah?
Sorry, I just missed one point on the partsufin. They each have all the spheros, or they each have
each parts of spheres, each parts of spheres. Everything, right. Everything in the world.
But isn't like Zeranpin is a parts of, right? But isn't Zeranpin the seven? I mean the six.
So everything has to. You have to. The Rashash says this more than anybody else in his Hakdama of Rechavos Anar, that it's so important to understand the very specific sugya that you're dealing in, because the klalus, if we're looking at the Shem Havaya, we'll say that the Yud represents Atik Yomin and Archamp, and we'll say and Abba, and we'll say that the Hay represents Ima, and we'll say the Vav, like you're saying, represents Chagat Nayam, which are the seven Sfiros HaTachtonos, and that's Zeranpin. That's only Beklalos, but Bepratis, Zeranpin also has ten Sfiros Shlemos, mm-hmm. But those ten Sfiros Shlemos are considered the ten Sfiros of Zeranpin.
So is it, do they emphasize some more than the other?
So we discussed this, I think, in one of the earlier chaburas where we got into that holographic principle of his klalus and his kashrus. Everything, that's a much longer sugya. The Arizal doesn't talk about his klalus and his kashrus. That's how the Rashash views Tikkun, and I don't know if we'll get to that tonight. It's synonymous with what's going on in the Arizal right now, in this Binyan HaPatsufim, but it's much more in-depth and in detail. It's really amazing how it lines up with modern quantum physics theory and holographic paradigms. But that's in Rosh Hashanah. That's not where we're not
going. It lines up with the French philosopher Derrida.
Different. Tov. So that's Partsufim.
I don't know what that is. I'm making fun of joking. just in case anyone thought I knew it.
That's Partsufim. That's what the Arizal's Magala. And that, everything, the Iker Tikkun over here, as we'll see, is Lahepuch from what took place by Shira Sakelim. Because by Shira Sakelim, all the spheros existed, but they didn't exist in the unified entity. So now, what we're doing is we're reconfiguring and reorganizing all those previous parts, all those previous pratim, but now they're all serving a greater purpose. The mashal that's generally given is a simple mashal. There's a good mashal about it. You know, there's like an ancient Indian whatever about like seven blind Indians, right? And they're put in front of an elephant, and they're asked, describe what you see. Tell me exactly what you see right now. So the person grabbing the tail of the elephant will say, Bivados, and he'll be right, that this is something that's thin and wavy, and there's hair at the end of it. The person holding the trunk of the elephant will describe something else, and he will be correct. The person holding a leg of the elephant will be correct. And they'll all be describing different parts of something, because they'll all be tapping into a specific part. But the unified whole of the elephant itself is comprised of all those parts, but it's still greater than the sum of its parts, because the elephant as a unit, as a unified whole, we don't say it's just comprised of these different aspects of the elephant, but all of them are working towards the exact same purpose of creating this general entity of an elephant. So you could approach a partzuf and grab onto the chesed of it, or see the gevura in it, or see the tferes of it, and see how different spheros are emphasizing themselves, but the ikkar is that it's a whole that does not negate the self-expression of each individual aspect of it. That's what a partzuf is.
So when we say shnei partzufim, that's their ampin, or that's shnei partzufim of two.
That's two faces.
That looking at each other.
That, yeah.
And by them looking at each other, now we're saying that's the tikkun, because they all see.
Yeah. That's exact. That is talking about the two partzufim of Zer Anpin and Nukva, which are generally what we'll be discussing B'Derech Avoda.
Okay.
But that Medrash is literally talking about Shnei Partzufim. It says that Adam Rishon was never B'Shnei Partzufim, which means two faces. But
is the Avoda to unite Partzufim or unite spheres within the Partzufim?
Wasn't that marriage connecting two Partzufim?
The Partzufim are supposed to be united?
That's a good question. It's not that there's so that's what happens when I'll get to your question right now. That's what happens when Hashem decided to create the world. Okay, so that's Bria Sa'olam. Very much bekitzer, because I don't want to bother anyone with the details. But what took place is that we had the Oros of Ben that were left without Kalim, right? By Shvira. And stop me if I'm getting too much into the details. Because the Kalim had fallen, and they had their Nitzotzos, so now we had these vacant Oros that had no Kalim, okay? Because the Oros, like we said, can't fall down, because they're pure spirituality, so they don't fall lower. So when the Oros of Ma came out of the Metzach of Adam Kadmon, so they were Mechaber themselves to those Oros of Ben. And that's how the Partzufim were Nivna. That's something called Binyan HaPartzufim. So at first, the Oros of Ma connected to the highest level of the Oros of Ben and created the parts of Atik Yomen. Then the leftover Oros of Ma connected to the next level of Oros of Ben and created Erech Anpin. Then it went down again. What was left over of the Oros of Ma went down and connected with the Oros of Ben and created something called Abba and Ima. Then it created something called Yisrael Saba and Tuna. Then it created something called Zer Anpin. And then it created something called Nuk. So that's the Binyan HaPartzufim. That's from the Chibur of the Oros of Ma and Ben. Okay, so now B'Derech HaAvodah, what we're trying to do, every mitzvah that we do, we start off with Shviras HaKelim. We start off with needing to be Misorer. We represent the Banim Atem L'Hashem Elokecha, means that we're the ones who are creating the man, we're the ones who are creating the inspiration to redo this whole process. This Tikkun HaOlam does not only take place in the creation of the world, it takes place in every single mitzvah, every thought, every action we do. Just like Shvira applies to everything, this takes place in everything. And that's the Chiddush of the Rashash. The Rashash takes the entire Eitz Chaim and puts it into one Shmon Esrei. These are the commandos of Shmon Esrei. In Shmon Esrei, the Shvira takes place by all of davening is a binyan from the Shvira. At night there's a Shvira, then we daven. So the brachos are being mavara the klipos of Olam Hasiya. Then you get to Pesukei Dezimra, you're being mavara the klipos of Olam Hayetzira. Then you get to the Olam of the Kisei, which is Shema Yisrael, which is why we have to sit down. Then you're being mavara the klipos of Olam Habriya. Then we come to Amida, which is Olam Hatzila. So we're being mala the Mayanukim, we're being mala the Hesaurus from below, above, right? Come Shemon Esrei, by Baruch Ata Hashem Magen Avram, we're doing something called the Nesira and the Sila Kamochin, which we'll get to. We'll get to all of this. And then by the end of Shemon Esrei, with all your Kavanos in Shemon Esrei, according to Shar Kavanos, as delineated in the Sidurim of the Rashash and the Sfardish Mikubolim, you're bringing down the Mochin now. You're bringing out that Orav Ma from the Metzach. You're bringing out that Orav Tikkun. You're creating a Hesoris for that. It's going to build all those Partsufim until it eventually comes down to Nukva, until the Mochin. That or that we're talking about, there's so much. There's just so much to say. I hope I'm not. That or that we're talking about is what we refer to as mochen. The mochen, hamshacha sa mochen, mochen the godless, mochen the kadness. All that is a really hamshacha of the or of the tikkun, that or of ma. Because ma is koach ma, it's the or of chachma. It's the bechasidus, it's ma anu machayenu, it's the ability to mevatel ourselves. All that means is what we're bringing down is the hiskasos elokus. Rabbi Nachman says the ikker Yediya, and Rabbi Nassim writes this all the time. The Iker Yediya and Chachmas HaKabbalah and Chachmas HaChasidus is Hamshach HaSamochen. What does Hamshach HaSamochen mean? It means Hiskaslos HaElokos. It means a revelation of godliness. Whatever that means as a Jew, whether it be psychological, whether it be economic, whether it be spiritual, psycho-historical, whatever spirituality and revelation of God means to you, all of that is Hamshach HaSamochen. All of that is being metakin olam. That or that comes down is or that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't only come from Adam Kadmon. It comes all the way, and the Sfarim are very careful to say this, from Or Ein Sof. His chadshus of New Oros. It comes from Or Ein Sof, and then it comes down to the Metzach of Adam Kadmon. It's always bringing more light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world. And each time we do this process, we're being Mevar Kalim. Because that Hesoros that we're doing, what is that initial Hesoros of a Jew? It's when a Jew comes in contact with a cleanish bar, he comes in contact with what's left over from Shiras Kalim, and he tries to be Mavarit. That birur, whether it be through eating, davening, kavana, anything a person's doing, creates this movement upwards. That hisbarus of the rapach nitzotzim of the shiras hakelim is what creates this entire process. And if you could imagine or going all the way up and then coming back down, all of that is done only based on the avodah of a Jew, only based on his kavana, his mitzvah, and that's what Rav Chaim Volozhiner is talking about in Shar Aleph, that there's an avodah l'tzarach gavoa. That's what the Baal Shem Tov is talking about when we need to be male the shiras hakelim and fix our emotions that have fallen. When we have, that's what the Arizal means when we have to have kavana and eating. That's what anybody means when they're saying we're having kavanos and davening. We're davening with kavanos ha'ari, kavanos ha'rashash. It's having these kavanos. Obviously with prate pratios of different shemos. But this is the process in everything. This takes place by going to sleep at night is shvira. Our neshama leaves us, that's the oros leaving the body. The body falls down to the bed. That's the kelim neshvarim falling down into a place of bri yitzir asiya, falling down into a place of pirud. We wake up in the morning. That's, we say moda'ani. Moda'ani means the spotless HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's being mamshech the oros of mag. And that's being ma'anu machayinu machasteinu matzitkaseinu, recognizing the bittol, the hepech of ana emloch, the opposite of what took place during the shvira, which was an egotistical, narcissistic self-centeredness, right? So the tikkun always comes from bittul, from chachma, from the koch of ma, from bittul hayeshus, from complete nullification of a person. That takes place in everything. This tikkun takes place in absolutely everything we do.
Question?
But, yeah.
The hamshachas hamochan yiskalas olokos, is that going on the or of ma? Or is that going on in Yitzotzos that were left as Rishimu in Nishat Pekelim? Because I thought the Or of Ma, yeah, is stays up, right? No, it comes down. I thought you said it can't enter the Olam HaTohu.
We're fixing the Olam HaTohu. This world is created based on, so that's why we have to explain. Because
Just because meaning in the last time, mm-hmm. right, we spoke about the Shivrei Kalim, so there was the Or can't come down, but a Rishimu, which was what we called the Nitzotzos, came down with
so
the
Rapach
Nitzotzim. Right. So what we're doing is being Mal of the Rapach Nitzotzim, or, because now it sounds like you're talking about the Or, that of like the Or of Ma and the Or that came out of the Mitzah,
so
but I thought that can't come down.
So you're being Ramas, it can come down, it can't shatter and fall,
uh-huh.
but it could be brought down.
Okay.
That's, yeah, everyone should.
So, but which
up.
One are we connecting to the Rapach Nitzotzos or the Or of Ma?
We're being Mal of the Rapach Nitzotzos.
Into the Or of Ma.
The whole, just like I explained before, that the or comes down, that whole process of the chibur between the oros of ma and ben, so too there's a whole process of going up. We, down here, banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem, we represent something that can bring things to the... Well?
Oh,
perfect, right? So we're mala the rapach nitzotzos up to nukva. Nukva then brings it up to Zerampin. Zerampin sends it back up to Ima, to Abba, to Arachanpin, to Atik Yomin, into the Pnimius of Adam Kanmon, until there's a Hesaurus Minayuvei, like we said, the Katsal Beruso, and there's a Zivug of Avansag, and then it goes all the way up to Orion. So for there to be a Tosefes Kisha, for there to be new Oros. Then it comes back down, and there was Rapach. So this is an amazing thing, because this is based on the Efesh Lema, Roshol Dwekakon, who was the Zaken and the Kubalim in Eretz Yisrael in the early 19th century. Close to Thruf Kook, a big tzaddik, and also a Bucky She'en Kamohu and in Kavanas Rashash, and all Kitvei Arizal. His Sefer is called Efesh Lema, which is a Biur and Otzros Chaim, which is anybody who's really learning like Iyun of Kabbalah, that's like the first. That's the first sefer they learn, or the Kerem Shlomo, and then Efesh Lema. So he writes that it's very important to understand that when we speak about Mochin Chadashin and the Tikkun of Ma, those new Oros that are coming down to be Metakein the Shiver Kelim, it's not different than the Shiver Kelim themselves. It's not that we had something that shattered and now we need to completely redo the process and bring down something new. Like, you know, they say sometimes when a business is floundering so strongly that we got to bring someone from the outside in. You have to bring outside help. That's not what's happening. The Oros of Ma and the Hamshachas HaMochen, right? These new levels of consciousness of God, right? They're not separate and apart from the Shivrei Kelim that the person has to be Mala from this dirty, broken world. It's the same exact thing. We're Mala, the Shivrei Kelim, that brokenness, which, like we said last week, could represent, on a personal, psychological level, all negativity. That goes through and is cleansed, in a sense, by that whole process of going up, back into Adam and Kadmon, until it comes back down. And that new Mochen that comes down is these fixed Shivrei Kelim. So it's not fixing something from outside, it's being Metakein that which broke. It's using the same material that had shattered to bring about the fixing. And that's an amazing concept.
What's the name again?
I'm sorry? Efesh Lema.
Can you say that last piece again?
The Oros and the Mochen of Tikkun are not different than the Rapach Nitzotzim that were being Mala in order to create this entire process.
It's almost like you have the Kli with the Nitzotzim, and that Nitzotzim is going back up through all those stages, and then that Nitzotzim itself is becoming cleansed and coming back into Tikkun. Mm-hmm.
It's like the Makam Shabali Tshuva Omdim in Sadik Gamor Yachal Amur. It's a Bal Tshuva. The Mochen Chadashim are Bali Tshuva. They're people, they're Oros that had fallen, they're Nitzotos that had fallen into the realm of Pirud and darkness, and then they come back up to fix the person. And I wanted to say, so it's the Rambam says, right, that one of the Darchei and Tshuva is Shinui Hashem. Shinui Hashem, a person has to change his name for Tshuva. So what's happening here? We had Oros of Ben. The Oros of Ben shattered. So now, for there to be a Tikkun, it has to be a Shinui Hashem. It has to become the Oros of Ma. There has to be a Shinui Hashem in the Oros themselves in order to bring about the Tikkun.
You're about to say that there's a Sefer that we also open up.
Based on what Yaakov had asked about what we're trying to do, are we trying to be Mala the Rapach, or are we trying to be Mamshech Mochen? So, the Rebbe Rashab, in his Sefer, his Ma'amarim from Tafresh Samach Vav, which is referred to as Hemshach Samach Vav. So you've always heard, it's a Medrash. It's a Medrash, I think, in Tetzava, that Nisava HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lios Ladir B'tachtonim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu yearned and urged and had a Taiva Kavyachol to live down here in the nether worlds, in the lower regions of the world, in the worlds of destruction, in the Olamos of Tohu, in this world of disparity and disarray. Right, so the Rabbi Rashab says that Adira Mamish means that everything should be done there. That's the Iker Giloy of Elokus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Shalim B'chol Minei Shlemos before the creation of the world. There was no need for there to be more of a Hiskaslus of Shlemos up there. The Iker Chiddush is that now we could bring that ore back down here. To bring the Hiskaslus Elokus down into the Malkum of Tachtonim, down into Rishus HaRabim, and B'mgala the Rishus HaYachad there. That's the Iker Tikkun, and that's what the Arizal means when he says, in the beginning, in Chakir Aleph, he says, what does the Shem Havaya mean? It means Haya, Ma Shehaya, Ma Shehove, Ma Sheyihye, Achar Shenes Hapech Lema Shehaya. That's what the Arizal says. That which was, that which is, and that which will be when everything reverts back to that which was. So it's a very basic question that people ask, that the Mefarshim asks. If it's just in order to bring it back to its original plane, then what's this whole game about? What is this? So, Acher Shenes Hapich L'Masha Haya is like this. It's that beforehand, before the creational world, there was Ohr Ein Sof. And it was complete perfection. And there was no Hisnagdus to it. Then, Behova, there's Hisnagdus to it. There's Shvi'a Sakelim, and there's Klipos, and there's Sitra Achra, all of that which was covenanted the Kavana Eliona, in order to make a playing realm. So what's going to be at the end? At the end, it's going to be a Toisefes Kishud, an additional revelation of beauty, like jewelry. That's what the Arizal says, like jewelry. The jewelry is something more beautiful on a person. It's something that adds beauty, right? It's going to be revealed that not only could HaKadosh Baruch Hu be Shalim Lamala without any Hisnagdus, but he could be Shalim Lamata down here also, Dira B'tachtonim. The Chiddush is to be Mahapeh Choshech into Or. Not to be Megala Or B'mokam Or, that's not a Chiddush. The Iker Chiddush is to be, to revert back to which was before creation, which is Or Ein Sof, but now it'll be very different, because before it was only Or Ein Sof, but now it's Or Ein Sof with the ability to live down here as well.
It's like these, it's the same sort as the Koach HaGvul, right? Yeah.
That's, it all works. It all fits.
Amazing. It's here, Tashin, what is it?
Tafresh Samach Vav.
So that's in the Rashab? And that
the Rebbe Rashab is the one who speaks about Nesav HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All Sifrei Chabad speak about Nesav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yasliyir B'tachtonim, but the Rebbe Rashab is the one who says, you have to think about what a Dira means. A Dira means a person eats, sleeps, lives, does everything in his Dira. That's what a Kaddish Baruch Hu wants down here. That's why in Sifrei Chabad you'll see that mitzvah is so much... The Maisa is the Iker. The Lubavitcher Rebbe ended every single for bringing he ever gave with saying the Maisa is the Iker. Because the Maisa is the Iker.
So why won't they sleep in the Sukkah? It makes so much more sense to sleep in the Sukkah according to that.
Well, that's different than the rest of Chassidus, which is about all about the Hachana.
Hachana is also Iker. I mean, Hachana, and you're saying Sasemas and...
Sorry, I just missed the transition from the Rashab's point about Dira being everything mamish to this point about the Achar Shnes Hapech L'Mashi Haya.
Because what's the Chiddush in having a Dira B'Tachtonim?
Okay.
Chiddush of the Dira B'Tachtonim is that it's B'Makom HaSnagdus. Right. So it's referred to by the Zohar and in Sefer Chabad for the Baal HaTanya and all in Sefer Tzaddok also and Rabbi Nachman. There's two Avodos. There's this Kafya and there's this Hafcha. There's defeating the enemy, there's defeating the Sitra Achar, there's defeating the Shivrei Kelim, and then there's also reversing the Shivrei Kelim and bringing them into the realm of Kedusha. Exactly, that when there's the Yetzirah doesn't want to dance, it's not enough to push them out of the circle, but you have to bring the Yetzirah into the circle. It's also what happened on Friday night. The Chazal tell us this, that Malach Ra Yomer Amin Bal Karcho. The Avodah is not just to have Malach Tov say, okay, Shalom Aleichem. We also have to bring the Malach Ra and make him admit that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shalom B'Kol Mini Shlemus. That's why we'll end with this, because we're going to have to do one more Chabura on Tikkun. But there's a Maisa, they reprinted some stories about the Baal HaTanya in honor of his 200th Yahrzeit. So there's a story that the Baal HaTanya, after he had printed Tanya, he had a chassid who was going to a certain town, I don't know the name of the town. Matanya, he said, just go there and come back to me when you're gone. So this chassid had gone to a theater or whatever, and he was sitting there learning Tanya. A person comes over to him, an usher comes over to him, and he says, what are you reading? And he looked at the Tanya, and he said, okay, very nice. And that was it. So when this chassid came back, the Baal HaTanya said, no, did you meet anybody? He's like, an usher. And he's like, what did he say? And he told them what he had said. And they said the Baal HaTanya had a tainug nifla from this, an amazing pleasure. So then the story ends. And then at the end, it says, in Mesoras Chabad, there's two ways to understand the story. One is that the usher was the leader of the Lamed Vav Tzadikim. And he was moda to the Kedusha of the Tanya, and the Baal HaTanya felt very good about that. The other, and they say this is the Iker, is that the usher was the Hashra of the Klipa in the world. He was the man de Klipa. He was the worst. And so by him admitting that it's a nice safer, so that's what the Baal HaTanya wanted. That's what the Baal HaTanya really wanted.
So, but then I guess you can say it's really the same thing, because someone's going to be the leader of the Lam Rav next might be that, like...
Yeah. Tov. We'll do one more week on Tikkun.